through the mighty power of the Lord, he delivered and defended the people of Israel. He delivered them from slavery in Egypt and defended them in the destruction of the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. And the people were granted faith to follow Moses out from Egypt through the shed blood of the Passover lamb. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned in Hebrews 11:29. The Lord gained honor over the Egyptians. There was great rejoicing as Moses taught the people to sing of God's work of redemption and his covenant love for them. We read of his song of praise in Exodus 15. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The people had believing faith in this God of their salvation, and that they were now safe and under the care and guidance of the Lord. It was now time to move on toward the promised land. It was time for the people to learn how to follow and to love their new master. They knew the Lord as their deliverer, but not yet as their provider and sustainer. Their new life of faith would have to be tested as they followed Moses out into the desert. And we have before us the story of God's unfailing love demonstrated to a newly saved people. The Israelites have begun to know the Lord as their strength, their salvation, and their song. But they needed to depend upon him as the Holy One, who is merciful, compassionate, forgiving, who graciously sustains their lives, the one who demands their wholehearted obedience. This is clearly seen here in Exodus as the children of Israel embark upon this journey after their wondrous deliverance at the Red Sea. They have much to learn from the Lord as they follow Moses out into the desert. And there are three things I'd like us to consider this morning. Firstly, God's way crosses our path. God's way crosses our path. Then secondly, God's way tries our faith. And thirdly, God's way satisfies our souls. Well, God's way crosses our path. We read in verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. The children of Israel are now on the move. They have set out joyfully following Moses into the desert after the Lord's victory over the Egyptians and their celebrations at all the Lord did for them at the Red Sea. And now, after a few days, they begin to face their first enemy, a new enemy. The new enemy was not an opposing army. It was not a living threat, a living and breathing threat. No, but it was a threat to living. The enemy was the desert itself. There was no water to drink. What was the land like east of the Red Sea? If you look at a map, you'll see that anywhere east of the Red Sea, there's nothing but miles and miles of dry sand and parched ground. And it was probably as dry today as it was then, with little or no shelter. It would have been hard going. 3 days of following Moses in the desert without water. How long can a person survive without water? Some of the things that indicate that you can, depending on conditions, the general consensus is about 3 days. Death by dehydration comes slowly. Some of the things that indicate that you are in trouble, the incessant skin irritation and the swelling or cracking of the tongue. This may be accompanied by hallucinations, disorientation, headaches, anxiety attacks, confusion, and blurred vision. If someone manages to go a week without water, it's unlikely they would recover fully. There's likely to be permanent damage to you. Within a few short days, the effects begin to take hold amongst the people, not only physically, but psychologically. What were the people likely to be thinking? What was their expectation? While they were back in Egypt, they would have known the promise made to Abraham and then through Joseph to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. Surely the Lord was delivering them to give them a new life and a new beginning, taking them to that promised land. But now their eyes were beginning to tell them something very different. They were truly walking by sight and not by faith. And where are we going? That was their cry. Moses knows the way. Oh, where, boy, is he taking us? Can you picture what it would have been like for the little children? They were not just impatient. They were beginning to suffer. They had to find water. Well, it can't be too far away. It can't be too far. One writer observed that the Lord was bringing his people to understand that the promised brooks that flowed with milk and honey were not in the wilderness, but must be found on the other side of Jordan, in the land which God had given to their fathers, and they must journey thither with weary feet. This is not your rest, was the lesson of their parched lips in the 3 days' march. But the need was immediate and could not be ignored. In the next two verses of our passage, we read that so after 3 days, now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Finally, they think an oasis comes into view. 600,000 men, as well as women and children, are looking forward to refreshment. Can you imagine? 600,000 went out. The news of their problem sweeps through the camp. There's water, but it's no good. We can't drink it. Imagine the disappointment. This would be really hard for them. It would have been natural for them to have doubts against Moses. A.D.W. Pink commented, 3 days ago, this people had been singing. Now they are murmuring. Praising before the Red Sea gives place to complaining at Marah. A real trial was this experience, but how sadly Israel failed under it. This is a graphic picture of the journey of life. This world is a wilderness which does not satisfy. And we are not to stop here. We're on a journey. We're travelers, sojourners. Before we came to know our Savior, we continued to live for the things that this world would provide. The weariness of life never seemed to lead us to what our parched souls needed most, which was to know the Lord Himself and His forgiving mercy and steadfast love. And in order for us to grow in our faith, the Lord must subdue our natural desires. He must cut across the paths that we habitually take and cause us to take notice. We're so often tempted to complain and to get annoyed. But God's way for us is to bring us to depend upon Him for all our needs. It makes me think of when you're teaching a young child to walk. Trust is involved. They have to trust their father or their mother. And once they get onto their wobbly feet, sometimes you hold out your hands just out of reach. You teach them to trust you to catch them if they fall. Did the Israelites trust the Lord? Their way was crossed by the Lord. What about you? Do you respond? How do you respond when things don't go your way? Well, God's way crosses our path. But secondly, God's way tries our faith. Not only did Israel fail to apply their faith to their situation at Marah, they failed to even see the problem as being a spiritual one, not just a natural one. In verse 24, the Hebrew word translated complained could also mean grumbled or murmured. And I would suggest to you that the real cause of their trouble was not the lack of water, but because they were not looking to the Lord to supply their need. Had they not seen the miracles? They had just sung the song of God's glory and his deliverance. Why did they not understand that the God who had rained hail on the Egyptians and protected them in the land of Goshen while Egypt was being destroyed, the God who had just a few days earlier had parted the sea, could he not have easily provided water for them in the wilderness? And more than this, they saw the daily miracle of the Lord, who spread a cloud of covering to protect them from the heat of the day, from the hot desert, and a fire to give them light in the night. And that in the daytime also, he led them with the cloud, and with the night, the light of fire. It was God who led the people out into the wilderness by his presence, pictured in that covering cloud in the day, to shield them, to lead them by that cloud which would move, and the fire by night to take them on their journey. It was God that led them to Marah. It was God who, in effect, led them there. And what did they do? They blamed Moses and, in effect, blamed God as well as to bring them to Marah. And we read in verses 25 and 26 that Moses then cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. He tries our faith. He tests us. Moses sees the trouble and he prays. The Lord answers the prayer of Moses by healing the waters. It was never God's plan to let his people die in the wilderness. The waters are now life-sustaining. This is the reason why the people are at Marah, so that they will be tested and that they will be taught to know about the character of God, that he's a God to be trusted to supply all of their needs. The Lord would teach the Israelites about themselves by means of a test. And that was a test of their faith. They were setting out, following the Lord as new believers, and must discover that their lives were in God's hands, and therefore they must live for him. The Lord made them taste what was in their hearts, bitterness. The bitter water needed to be made sweet. When we start out in the life of faith, the Lord sees to it that before we pass this life and arrive in heaven, our faith will be strengthened, proven, and made firm in him. That's his purpose with us. He accomplishes this end by showing us our dry and bitter souls. He accomplishes this by showing us our need, those well-trodden paths of wickedness in our hearts. He tests to see if we will cry out in dependence upon him. He calls upon us to obey his word, to listen to what he has to say, and do whatever he tells us. But how easy it is for us to fail and to grumble at our lot. Even when we have been Christians for many years, we can so easily collapse when the going gets difficult. We can so easily get discouraged. Our spirits can get dry at times. It may seem like we are not making any progress on the way to heaven. Not many are being saved. The Lord seems far away. Perhaps we find ourselves drifting back to drink from the old wells that used to satisfy us before we began to follow Christ. Charles Spurgeon says, "By this grievous test, the Lord was proving his people and causing them to see what was in their hearts. They would have known no wilderness without, if there had not been a wilderness within. Neither had there been a draught of water for their mouths if the Lord had not seen a drought of grace in their souls. We are fine birds till our feathers are ruffled, and then what a poor figure we cut. We are just a mass of diseases and a bundle of disorders. And unless grace prevents us, we are sure the sure prey of death. Oh, Lord, we pray to be proved, but we little know what it means. Has your faith brought this kind of change in your life? Or when things are not going your way, do you grumble and complain? Have you seen the dryness of your souls at times? There's a satisfying stream for the Christian that God supplies. The Lord tests and teaches us by bringing about a thirst in the soul that cannot be satisfied by the bitter waters of this world. Testing and teaching can only occur when a person has the strength to take it in. Well, God's way crosses our path. God's way tries our faith. And finally, God's way satisfies our souls. Now that the Israelites have refreshed themselves, the Lord wants them to hear and obey. And he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and listen to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. What is this lesson? It's to listen to his voice, he says. Take notice, understand, then to do what he says is right. Persist in obedience. Hear his commandments. Understand them and keep his statutes. Then the people will know the Lord, that he is their healer. They will know by experience he has refreshed them at Marah and healed them. And that is true for us who follow Jesus Christ. If we hear and we obey, we will know what it is to be spiritually healthy. We will know what it is to be free of the sickness of our sin, and our souls will be satisfied. That is why we must be taught God's laws and precepts. His commands are for our well-being. Look now how the Lord puts his promise as our great physician. I will put none of these diseases upon you. And what is the disease of our soul? Just to name a few. Pride, fearfulness, insecurity, the need to be recognized, the desire for attention, the habit of judging others when they don't live up to your expectations, convincing yourself that you are somehow better than others, the frustration of unfilled desires. Those are some of the diseases that we suffer even as Christians. But he will heal us of these things. Psalm 103 says that the Lord is the one who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When we trust him, when we listen to his word and serve him in all obedience, depending upon him for all things, we will know and we will depend upon his covenantal love and his keeping grace. These are the things we need to follow him. These are the things we need. And you will be led to the place of sweet waters, where the bitter is made sweet. Then in verse 27, they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. Moses, God, took the Israelites from deliverance to dependence, and then to rest. Rest for weary travelers. Is that not what Jesus brings to us? What does Scripture say? Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. And in Exodus 33:14, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. Satisfaction in your soul. Elim was a place of rest and refreshment. There was plenty of water and palm trees, which was a change from the barren wilderness they had come from. But our spiritual rest is in Christ. Matthew 11:28-30. Our Lord Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And Christ gives us spiritual drink. Jesus tells us in John 6:35, "He who believes in me shall never thirst." Have you ever felt like you have come to the end of yourself? You followed, maybe, but you failed. You've known the Lord's goodness to you. But do you find a grumbling and complaining spirit in you? Are you thirsty for that which this world cannot provide? The Lord Jesus Christ said to the woman at the well, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life," or everlasting life. All we have is by faith in Jesus Christ, who provides for what we need. All we need to be made alive and right before God is in and through Jesus Christ and his sustaining grace. If you are a Christian, know that he will deliver you, test you, teach you, train you by the instruction of the Word of God. And you will have rest in believing. And you will drink from the springs of living water. If you are not a Christian, come to Christ. Ask for forgiveness. He will save you from your sin and your diseased heart, which only brings his judgment upon you, and he will give you a new life, a new thirst, a thirsty soul that is only satisfied in him. John tells us in the book of Revelation that when we leave this world, we will be before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore, nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Revelation 7. Wonderful words. May God supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen.